Morning. Thank you. Wow, you have energy this morning. The Christmas of January. It's great to have you this morning as we've come to worship the Lord. We turn over from the book of Hebrews to the book of Proverbs. That's going to be exciting for us to begin this 3 or 4 month journey through this book this morning. So we're glad that you're here to participate in that. We're glad for our family and our friends who are watching live stream as we begin that new journey. You'll notice if you have brought up the program on your phone or on your device, or you picked up a paper copy this morning, we still have room in our Discovering Open Arms Church luncheon happening today at 12:30. So if you'd like to be a part of that, after this service, you go home, take a little bit of nap. Don't eat though, because you come back and we're going to give you lunch and we'll help you understand who Open Arms Church is, what our passions are, what makes us tick. Maybe God's calling you to be a part of this church family. We launched our new semester of the Institute here at Open Arms this past Wednesday. We had many watching live stream, many that were here live in the room, and we're excited about that. So 10 days from now, we'll be having session 2. There's information here in the program to be a part of that. If you're going to participate, whether live, in person, or at home, reach out to us. There's a way to register, and we'll send you the topic guide, and you can follow along and take notes. You don't need to register every week. You do that once, and then we will send you the guide every other week. But it was a good start for us. I just want to thank you for just the graciousness, compassion, the love that you shared with the St. John family this week over their heartbreaking loss in losing their youngest son last weekend. They have been buffeted, built up by that kind expression this whole week, and especially during the memorial service on Friday. So thank you for being a family. Thank you for loving the way you do. God used you as vessels of his grace. Well, we're going to go to the word in to the Lord in a word of prayer. You'll notice the baptism is here. We have one at 11 o'clock. You'll see the video of that next Sunday at 9 o'clock. We never want you to miss what God's doing in our midst as he's drawing people to himself, as they're coming to faith in Christ through his grace by faith alone. We want you to hear those stories. Join with me, please, if you would, in a word of prayer. I'll pray out loud, and you can join me in your hearts. God, it's good to lean into you, to humble ourselves, to acknowledge you're hallowed, you're holy, you're high, you're mighty, you're beyond us, and yet you've come to us. And you walk with us, and you relate to us. You fill us, you lead us, you strengthen us. You are mighty God, and you've come to the people you created. And while we were yet still sinners, Christ Jesus, you died for us to give us new life. We're grateful. And part of that life you've given us, we come this morning to worship you, to sing to you, to listen to you, to obey you. Oh, how you're worthy. So may the word come alive in our hearts. May we already have hearts that anticipate you're going to speak to us and draw us. May we already say yes as your children. Thank you for your help and comfort, not only to the St. John's, but to us. Their loss has been our loss, and their tears have caused us to weep. May we continue to walk with them and encourage them, Lord, as you bring healing to that family. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, would you stand and join us in worship this morning?
Come all you weary, come all you thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. Come all you sinners, come find his mercy, come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for. Oh God, so love, save us, whoever believes in him will live forever. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms. He is open arms, for God so loved the world that he gave us, his one and only son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated, now it is well, I'm walking in freedom. For God so loved, God so loved the world. Come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting. God so loved the world.
I love you. I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will see of the goodness of God. All my life you have been goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have awesome God, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Low great God, of highest hand, occupy my lonely heart. Alone it all and reign supreme, and conquer every rebel power. Let no vice or sin remain that resists your holy. Purchase me and make me yours forevermore. O great God of highest heaven, occupy my lonely heart. Own it all and reign supreme, conquer every rebel power. Let no vice or sin remain that resists your holy war. You have loved and purchased me to make me yours forever. By my sin, had no ears to hear your voice, did not know your love within, had no taste for heaven's joy. Then your Spirit gave me life, opened up your word to me. Through the gospel of your Son, gave me endless hope and peace. Help me now to live a life that's dependent on your grace. Keep my heart and guard my soul from the evils that I face. You are worthy to be praised with my every thought and deed. Lord, great God of highest heaven, glorify your name.
Father, we thank you that we can worship you, and we can worship you because you revealed yourself to us. We know you through your word. We know you through your by your Spirit. And Lord, as we open your word this morning, Lord, may we approach you with humility, teachability, and we ask you to reveal yourself to us. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Why don't you have a seat? This morning, we are in Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to look at the first seven verses. Proverbs chapter 1, the first seven verses. So if you've been with us, if you've been worshiping with us over the last few months, you know we've been in the book of Hebrews. That's in the New Testament, and we finished that up last week. So we were walking through, we walked from chapter 1 to chapter 13. We finished last week. Now we're in the Old Testament. So we're gonna start the book of Proverbs this morning. And for the next several months, we'll be walking through the book of Proverbs. If you not sure where Proverbs is, you can open the middle of your, you can open to the middle of your Bible, and you'll probably either land in Proverbs or Psalms. So if you hit the Psalms, you just take a slight right and flip a few pages, and you'll be in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1. Do you remember when we used to go to movies? You remember that? We'll go to movies again. We'll go to movies again. But you remember when you went to movies, you thought you were late, but you weren't, because they show half an hour of trailers. So you had time to go back and get your, you know, soda, popcorn, candy. You come back, they're still showing trailers. What's a trailer for a movie? The trailer is, it's a short introduction to another movie that they want you to spend, you know, another $13, $14 to come and watch that movie too. And they're trying to introduce you to it, and they're trying to motivate you to come and see it. So they're trying to introduce you, what's the movie, this movie about? And they're trying to motivate you to go and see it. In fact, a lot of times that's why they put the best parts in the trailer. You know, you say, I watched the 2-minute trailer, I went and watched the movie and realized all the good parts were in the 2-minute trailer. That's what a trailer does. It introduces you to the movie and it motivates you to go see it. These verses we're going to read this morning, in many ways, are like the trailer for Proverbs. There's really two purposes for these 7 verses we're going to read. It's going to introduce you to what the book of Proverbs is about so that you get an idea, and it's here to motivate us to keep reading, to keep coming back, to dive in, to pull up a chair, to listen to the book of Proverbs. So let's read together. We're going to read the first 7 verses. This is chapter 1, right from the beginning, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, you might have picked up as we read through here, the book of Proverbs, if you boil it down, it's about one word. It's about wisdom. It's about wisdom. Wisdom that we can live by. Wisdom that we should live by, that helps us navigate life. It's about wisdom. There's a lot of different words as we read through. You probably saw them. Instruction, understanding, prudence, knowledge. There's a lot of different words, but really they kind of all point back to the same idea, wisdom. Now, the book of Proverbs and this wisdom that it teaches us, there's 5 things. There's 5 aspects to this wisdom that these 7 verses teach us about. Here's the first one. Here's the first aspect of Proverbs and this wisdom. It's a wisdom from the wise. It's a wisdom from the wise. You know, we can get our wisdom from a lot of different places. You know, we can get our ideas of how to navigate life and what to do from a lot of different places. Sometimes we get it from people maybe that aren't so wise. You know, sometimes we get it from ourselves. We kind of make it up, and sometimes we're not so wise. So with Proverbs, we have an opportunity to learn from the wise. Look at verse 1. This book is the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. So who's the author? Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Now, as an aside here, there are a few chapters towards the end that aren't by Solomon, and we'll see that. They're labeled, they're from another king or some other wise men, but by far, the majority of what's in the Proverbs is written by Solomon. So they say that he's the author. He's the main author of Proverbs. Now, have you heard of Solomon? Do you know about Solomon? Solomon was very, very wise. So this is a good man for us to learn from. He's very wise. Listen to 1 Kings chapter 4. This is 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 30. It says that Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the peoples of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt. He spoke 3,000 proverbs. Now, there's about 500 in this book of Proverbs, so we're just getting a sampling. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. He wrote over 1,000 songs. Verse 34, and people of all nations came to hear the wisdom of Solomon from everywhere and from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. So kings, people from all nations were traveling to Israel to sit at the feet of Solomon and listen to his wisdom. Wisest man of his time. Now, so that's the opportunity we have. That's the opportunity we have in Proverbs in these next few months, is to learn from the wisest man of his time. But he wasn't just the wisest man of his time. Now, if we flipped just a page to 1 Kings 3, listen to what it says in the chapter before that. God says to Solomon, so God speaks to Solomon, and he says, I give you a wise and discerning heart. This is 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 12. I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. Do you hear what he's saying? This is God talking. God's saying, you're not just the wisest man of your age, but you're the wisest. There's not been another wiser than you that's come before you, and there won't be one that's wiser than you that comes after you. Now, there is one slight exception to that, and we will, one significant exception to that we'll talk about in a little bit. But Solomon was the wisest man, God says, that whoever lived. It's good. That's good. That's a good person for us to learn from, isn't it? To figure out how to navigate life. What do I do? Well, let's learn from the wisest man who ever lived. And I don't know if you heard as I read that verse, but it's not just that we're learning from the wisest man who ever lived. Where did he get his wisdom? Yeah, that's what it says in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 12. God says, I give you your wisdom and your discerning mind. So we're not just learning from Solomon. What we're learning from in Proverbs is we're learning from God. We're learning from God who is, through Solomon, teaching us how to navigate life. Now, there's a lot of things that the Proverbs talk about. And in the weeks to come, we're gonna look at what God says through Solomon about money, about family, about relationships, about work, about friendships, about our emotions, about how we should speak, what words we should speak, and when we should speak them, and when we shouldn't. There's a lot of good wisdom that comes from Solomon, from God. You know, the Proverbs is a picture. We talked about this on Wednesday night in our What Does the Bible Say class, but Proverbs is a picture of the rest of the Bible. See, did man write the Bible? Yes. Men wrote the Bible. Proverbs was written by Solomon. Did God write the Bible? Yes. You say, well, which one is it? Well, it's both. See, God wrote the Bible by giving to the men who wrote it down what to write. That's what he did in Proverbs. That's what he did in the rest of the Bible. So as we listen to Solomon, we're listening to God. We're getting wisdom from the wise. Here's the second aspect of Proverbs, this wisdom from Proverbs. It's a wisdom, number two, it's a wisdom to know and to do what's best. What we're going to learn from Proverbs is wisdom, but we need to understand what wisdom is according to the Bible. Wisdom is when we know and we do what's best. Those are three very important aspects to it. Wisdom is something we have to know. Look at verse 2. The Proverbs are here to know wisdom. That's the purpose, so that we can know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight. You see those words? To know, wisdom is something we need to know, and it's something we need to understand. So it is a mental process. It is an intellectual, it's a knowledge that we have to learn and understand. Have you ever been in a situation where you think to yourself, I just don't know what to think? I just don't know what to do. I'm just drawing a blank. See, we have to learn so that we can know how to look at a situation, so we can know what to do. We can't do it if we don't know what to do, and that's what the Proverbs helps us with. But it doesn't just help us with knowing things. Proverbs helps us with doing things. Wisdom is to know and to do. Look at the first part of verse 3. Proverbs is here to help us receive instruction in wise dealing. You see that word dealing? It's not just wise knowing. It's not just, oh good, I've got it in a notebook somewhere. I know what to do. No, it helps us in wise dealing, in wise doing. See, many times we can think of wise people as people who have maybe a lot of education or have a lot of letters after their name, or they know a lot, or they're smart, or they've read a lot of books, and that can lead to wisdom, but the wisdom in Proverbs is not a wisdom that just knows something. It's wisdom that's applied. It's wisdom that does something. It's very practical. It applies it to life. In fact, the word wisdom is used in other parts of the Bible to describe sailors, to describe artists. The idea is they have a skill, a wisdom. In Exodus, it talks about these craftsmen that, or maybe Leviticus, it's in there through the books of Moses, where they had wisdom in all kinds of gold and silver. See, these craftsmen didn't just know, you know, the chemical makeup of gold. No, it was a skill that they knew how to work with it. It was an applied wisdom on how to work with silver and gold. Sailors don't just know a lot about the wind and, you know, the ocean. They know how to apply it in what sails to put out and pull in at certain points. See, it's wisdom applied. That's what we need. That's what Proverbs gives us, is a wisdom that we can use, a wisdom that we live by, that we live out in our life. So it's a wisdom to know and do what's best. What's best? And we have to be careful here, because it's not just what's best for me. It's not just, well, how will I make out the best in this situation? The wisdom that Proverbs gives us is a wisdom to know what's best and best and right in a moral sense. Look at the end of verse 3. To receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. Do you hear that? See, it's not just a wisdom that makes you successful, no matter what you have to do. No, it's a wisdom that helps you know what's best, what's right. And not just right for you. See, we have a tendency in America, through our filters, to think of our rights. So sometimes when we think, I need to know what's right, I need to know what to do so I can have my rights. But see, this righteousness and justice and equity, it's not a matter of what's right just for me. It's a matter of, what do I need to say? What do I need to do in this situation that will impact others and be right, not just for me, but what will lead to moral goodness for others? See, we don't live on a deserted island. Now, if you lived on a deserted island, just yourself, by yourself, you wouldn't need justice or equity, because there would be nobody else that you'd have to have equity with or justice. See, these terms, righteousness, justice, and equity, that's a relational thing. We don't live on a desert island. We live in a community. We live in families. We live in a church family. And so we need wisdom that will help us to walk in righteousness and justice and equity with each other, doing not just what's best for me, but what's best and what will be good for others as well, as it trickles out, my decisions and my words trickle out in others' lives. It's a wisdom to know and to do what's best. So here's the third aspect of the wisdom of Proverbs. The third aspect, number three, is wisdom for every stage of life. Proverbs offers wisdom to people who are in every stage of life. No matter where you are on the timeline of life, if you're starting off, if you've been through a lot and you're kind of on the home stretch, doesn't matter where you are, Proverbs offers wisdom for every stage of life. There's two specific stages that are mentioned here. Look at verse 4. Proverbs are here to give wisdom to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. So do you see that? Proverbs is for young people, for the youth. Not just for them, but it's specifically, it says, for the youth. You're going to see over and over as we walk through Proverbs, Solomon particularly, saying, my son, listen to me. He's talking to his son. He's trying to train up his son. This word youth, it speaks of somebody who's, you know, in adolescence. Somebody who's just starting off into adulthood. Proverbs is for the young. The other word that's used in verse 4 is the simple. Now, we tend to think maybe of a simple person as someone who's not very smart. But that's not the way the word's used here. The word simple here means somebody who just, they're kind of a blank slate at this point. They might be maybe a little gullible because they don't quite understand the complexities of life. And sometimes we don't have to just be in our adolescence to be simple. Sometimes we can be gullible or naive at other stages of life too. If you're a young person, if you're in junior high, if you're in high school, if you're out of high school and kind of launching into young adulthood, whether you're here this morning or listening online, this book is for you. This book is for you to give you wisdom, so that you don't have to only learn through hard knocks. Now we learn a lot that way, don't we? But wouldn't it be good if we could bypass some of those by learning wisdom ahead of time when we're young? That's what the book of Proverbs is here for. But not just for the young. Look at verse 5. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. Let the wise hear. Now, that's different than the simple. See, the simple person in verse 4, he's saying, learn, young person, learn. But the wise is not a simple person. They understand the complexities of life. They're not quite so gullible. They're not quite so naive. Maybe they've had a successful career. They've been through hard knocks. They've learned a few things. They've collected some calendars. They've collected some years. And they look back and they say, you know what? I mean, maybe I'm not the wisest person in the world, but I'm a little further along. I kind of know a little bit more of how the world works. Well, no matter how far in on that side of the spectrum, as far as being wise you are, verse 5, the word is to those who are wise to hear, to listen, and increase in learning. Not to say, well, this is good for others, but I've kind of got a handle on it. No, he says, if you're wise, you can still learn. This book is for you. Let the wise hear and increase in learning. Do you see how it's for people on both ends of the spectrum and everywhere in between? We can always grow in wisdom. Now, the danger on either side of that spectrum, the danger is for young people sometimes, I know it was for me, is to think, you know what, I got it all figured out. Somehow between, 14 and 18, I just learned everything that I possibly could in the world, and I know I've got it all figured out. And to think sometimes when we're young, I know what I'm doing. It's also a danger for those maybe who have been through successful careers at the end in the twilight years to kind of think, you know what, I've got a lot of wisdom, and I'm not sure there's much more I can learn. See, on both ends, the word is for us in Proverbs, we need to be teachable. And we need to sit at the wisest man who ever lived, sit at his feet, and the Lord, and say, Lord, teach me. It's wisdom for every stage of life. Here's the fourth aspect. The fourth aspect of Proverbs is it's a wisdom that requires reflection. This wisdom is a wisdom that requires reflection. Look at verse 6. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. What is the book of Proverbs here? It's to help us understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. Help us to understand a proverb. Now, we live in a Google search world, don't we? In a Google search culture. If you want to know something, just pull out your phone and you search it. And you get the fact and you get it quick and you move on to the next thing and you move on to the next fact that you want to know. We live in a bullet point culture. You know, we don't want to read the book. We want to read the bullet point. Just give me the fact. And Google's really good at that, right? You ask a question and it pulls up a sentence that gives you the summary of what you want to know. So that's good because the Proverbs are short. The Proverbs are short. Now, chapter 1 through 9 are a little longer. The thoughts are a little longer. So chapters 1 through 9, we'll read a chapter and the whole chapter will go together. But when we hit chapter 10 in a few weeks, when we hit chapter 10 through the end of the book, what you find is short bullet points. And one verse will be completely unrelated to the verse that was before it. And it'll be completely unrelated to the verse that is after it. It's like an a la carte, just like a list of wisdom. One-liners that you can put on a plaque, put on your wall, and won't even be pulling them out of context. Because the one verse is all there is in that thought. Now, but we have to be careful though, because just because it's short doesn't mean it's going to be easy to understand or easy for us to figure out how it applies to our life. So we're going to need, it's going to require us to reflect. We're going to have to use our reflection muscle a little bit, a muscle that we don't always use when we use Google. We're going to need to slow down and reflect. Now, that's what Solomon's getting at in verse 6 when he says, the purpose is to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. That's what he means by riddle. The word riddle here and the word saying, they both mean the same thing. It's the idea of something that's hard to understand. There's going to be proverbs that are hard for us to understand, that we're going to have to reflect on. Let me give you kind of the classic example in the book of Proverbs. This is in chapter 26. Chapter 26, there's two verses. Now, these kind of do go together, maybe. So listen to these. Let me read them to you. This is chapter 26, verse 4 and verse 5. The first verse, verse 4, says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself. Okay, now we pause, we say, ooh, got to read that again. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him. Don't stoop to his level. Verse 5. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. And we say, wait a second, is that a typo? Because verse 4 just told me not to answer a fool according to his folly. And then verse 5 tells me to answer a fool according to his folly. So which one do I do? Now what we might be tempted to do is say, I don't get it. Verse 6, and just keep reading. But see, what we need to do is it's going to require us to reflect, to slow down, and to maybe look at some other translations and go, well, okay, it's not a typo because it's in every Bible that I'm looking at. So what's going on here? It's a riddle. It's hard to understand. And we've got to reflect, slow down, and reflect. Now, I'll tell you one thing that's going to help to understand, as we slow down and reflect on the Proverbs, one thing that's going to help us to understand them is to understand how they're written. The Proverbs, even the ones we're looking at, verses 2 through 7 here, the Proverbs, each verse is written as a group of two lines. Do you see that on the page? Verse 2, it's two lines. Verse 3, it's two lines. The second line is indented a little bit to the right. But all the way through these Proverbs, you're going to see each verse is two lines. Now, the technical term for that is parallelism. Parallelism. It's what the author is doing, what Solomon is doing, is he's writing his thought, and then to help you understand his thought, he writes it again in a different way. So one way he uses this he'll write the thought, and then he'll write the same thought using different words. The same thing, using different words, so that you can pick up on it. That's what we see in verse 6, the verse we just read. To understand a proverb and a saying, we might say, well, what exactly is a proverb, and what kind of saying is he talking about? Well, he says the same thing, but he just uses different words in the next line. The words of the wise and their riddles. So what is a proverb? Well, it's the words of the wise. And what is a saying that he's talking about? A riddle. They mean the same thing. He just uses different words so that your brain can maybe kind of figure it out better. So watch for that. All the proverbs are written in parallelism. If you don't understand the first line, think a little bit about the second line. It might help you. The other thing he does many times is he doesn't necessarily write the exact same thing in the second line. He might write something in the first line and then expand on it to explain it in the second line. That's what we see in verse 3. Look at verse 3. To receive instruction in wise dealing. Now, if that's all we had, we might think, what kind of wise dealing? What kind of instruction is he talking about? But the second line isn't the same thing, but it helps you because he explains a little bit more about what he means. What kind of wise dealing? What kind of instruction? In righteousness, justice, and equity. So that's how you know what kind of instruction you're getting from Proverbs, because he explains its instruction in righteousness, in justice, and equity. You see what he's doing there? Sometimes he just repeats himself with different words. Sometimes he explains more of what he means in that first line. The third thing that parallelism does sometimes is there's a contrast. They're opposites. You're going to see that a lot in the Proverbs. Watch for it. He'll say, the wise man does this, but the foolish man does this. And so he's giving you opposites in those two lines. That's going to help us to understand sometimes these riddles that are a little hard to understand. Let me encourage you as we go through the Proverbs these next few months. I'm challenging myself to do this, and I want to challenge you to do this. It's something that Billy Graham did for decades in his life. It's something I know Pastor John has done for decades, and many of you already do it. But in these next few months, as we're in Proverbs, I encourage you to read one proverb a day. One proverb a day. You say, well, which one should I read? Read the one that matches the date. Okay, so today's the 17th. So the idea is that today, at some point this afternoon, tonight, take some time to read Proverbs chapter 17. Tomorrow will be the 18th, so you read Proverbs 18. February 1st, what proverb would you read? Proverbs 1. So it's helpful, because if you miss a day or a couple days, just read the one that matches the date that it is. So read through the Proverbs, but remember, it's going to require reflection. It's going to require reflection, so don't read too fast, because you might miss something really good. And I know that many of us are reading through the Bible in a year, so you say, well, you know, I'm already, you know, got like 3 chapters or so, and Exodus that I'm in, and I'm trying to read a psalm. So just a suggestion, read the proverb of the day at a different time of day, maybe a different place. You know, maybe put a Bible in your bathroom or on your desk at work or on your nightstand. You know, maybe you read it before you go to bed. Wherever we read it, we just have to remember it requires reflection, and we want to slow down so we can think about it. Because even if we understand it, I don't want to scare you too much, not all of them are riddles. There are ones that we understand. We know what they mean. But don't go too fast. Because remember, wisdom is something that we do, not just that we know. So we may need to slow down to think about, Lord, how do I need to apply this? That's going to take a few seconds, a few minutes, a few years to do that. Here's the fifth aspect of this wisdom in Proverbs, number 5. It's a wisdom based on a right relationship with God. This wisdom is a wisdom based on a right relationship with God. Look at verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, by the way, do you see the parallelism there? You see what he's doing? It's opposites. It's a contrast to help you grasp it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And fools despise wisdom and instruction. Not the same thing, being a fool and fearing the Lord. What does it mean to fear the Lord, though? It's not the only place we see this. In Proverbs or in the Bible, it's all over the place. What does it mean to fear the Lord? And what does it look like? Because we don't want to do it. We don't want to be fools. What does it look like to despise wisdom and instruction? What does that look like? A helpful analogy that I heard this week, I want to pass on to you, may be how we relate to the ocean. Now, how many of us like the ocean? How many of us love the ocean, we would say? And maybe for different reasons. You know, some of us like to sit on the sand and get a tan. Some of us like to swim. Some of us like to take a boat out and fish. Some of us just like to look at it. But probably most of us, if we don't love the ocean, we at least like it. And we're drawn to it. But it is wise to have a healthy fear of the ocean, isn't it? Even as we approach the ocean, as we enjoy the ocean, as we spend time there, it's wise to have a healthy fear of the ocean. Because, see, we can't go to the ocean and just approach it on our own terms. You have to approach the ocean on its terms. It would be foolish to despise signs on the beach that say, sharks are in the water. It would be foolish to despise signs that say, beach closed because of strong undertow. It would be foolish to take a pleasure cruise the day before a hurricane's supposed to hit. It would be foolish to put in at Cape Cod on your inflatable raft and try to row to England. See, you have to approach the ocean on the ocean's terms. You have to have a healthy fear of the ocean. Not a fear that keeps you away from the ocean. Not a fear that says, whoa, it's so scary, I'm never going there. But a fear that helps you be in a right relationship with the ocean as you enjoy it, as you spend time there. Now, in many ways, that's what fear of the Lord means. See, fear of the Lord doesn't mean you never go to the Lord. It doesn't mean you stay away from him. It doesn't mean you run the other direction. But it means you acknowledge that you need to approach the Lord on his terms, not on your own terms. That we can't despise the things that he says and think that we can do whatever we want, but we have to approach him on his own terms. Now, even probably more helpful than the picture of the ocean is the reality of the cross as we think about fear of the Lord. Because what the Bible says, the message of the Bible as we take it from cover to cover, is that we have despised the wisdom and instruction of the Lord. All of us have. We've been like sheep that have gone astray. We have gone our own way. We have thought that we can navigate life on our own terms. But even though we've despised the Lord, he hasn't despised us. He's loved us. And he showed that. He showed that by sending Jesus, who was greater than Solomon. That's what the Bible says. It says Jesus was greater. He was that one exception that was wiser than Solomon, because Jesus didn't just know what to do. Solomon knew. But if you read especially the last part of Solomon's life, he didn't do what he knew he should have done. But Jesus always did. He had perfect wisdom, and he always applied perfect wisdom, doing what was best, not just for himself, but in relationship to his Father, and doing what was best for us. And what Jesus did is he went to the cross, And he took our foolishness. He took our foolishness and he paid for that so that we could approach God. Not on our own terms, but on the terms that God has laid out. And God's terms are that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can approach God, no one can go to the Father except through Jesus. And if we all do, need to foster and nurture humility in our own lives, the place that we need to do that is at the cross. The cross shows us not only God's love for us, but it shows that he has paid for our foolishness so that we can approach him. Now, in verse 7, it says that the fear of the Lord, this right relationship with the Lord, is the beginning of knowledge. Listen, before we turn the page, it's so important, before we begin this journey in Proverbs, it's so important for us to ask the question, have I started there? Do I have a right relationship with the Lord? Have I ever come to God on God's terms, which are through Jesus, the forgiveness that he provides, and coming to him on my knees, surrendered, yielding to his instruction? Have I ever done that? Because if I haven't, I'm not going to understand the wisdom of Proverbs. If I haven't, I'm certainly not going to be able to apply the wisdom of Proverbs. See, it begins with a right relationship with the Lord, a fear of the Lord that comes through surrendering and believing in Jesus. And so if you've never done that, if you're listening and you've never done that, what we do is we come to the Lord and we say, Jesus, forgive me for being foolish, for going my own way. And Lord, I yield, I surrender, not just today, but Lord, I yield my life, the rest of my life to you, to live life on your terms, with your strength. That's where wisdom begins. But it's not just where it begins. See, the word beginning is almost maybe a little, can be confusing to us, because it's not as if we trust in Jesus and then we move on. See, the word beginning here, that's where it starts, but that's the foundation of wisdom. There is no true wisdom of knowing and doing what's best that isn't based on a right relationship with God through Jesus. We have to stay there. To not just go to the cross and move on, but to go to the cross and stay there. To delight in him. To draw near to him. To enjoy God. But to enjoy him on his terms at the foot of the cross. Yielded to him. Trusting in Jesus, dependent on him. That's the heart, that's the attitude, not just that we need to begin, but we need to stay at that place as we go through Proverbs and as we move through the rest of our life seeking to apply to our daily life the wisdom that he gives us. Let's pray. Father, please make us wise. Lord, please make us wise and help us to grow in wisdom. Help us in our hearts to pull up a chair these next several weeks and months. To pull up a chair next to Solomon as we listen to you through him with eyes that are looking to Jesus, drawing near to you on your terms, yielded, humble, and trusting. Lord, please grow us in wisdom as a people. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, would you join us in worship one more time?
And I cast my mind to Calvary. Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone, Messiah still and all alone. Lord, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord our God. And on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Lord, trample death, where is Your sting?
Beginning a great journey through this book of Proverbs. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for being with us at home live streaming. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.